Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we're glad you are with us this morning. We certainly appreciate your phone calls at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. Yes, indeed. Well, there's lots going on. We're starting to hear some reports about some folks catching some fish, perch in particular, yellow perch, some fish on the Tuckahoe and Chop Tank and some other areas over on the eastern shore. The fish are starting to move. We had an emailer last week wanted to know, what's the DNR say about the lack of yellow perch? Well, the lack of yellow perch is because the water's cold and the fish haven't moved up. They're still holding in the deep holes. Some of the equipment used, like the fike nets and the pound nets, are unable to function. Fish haven't moved necessarily up into the upper bay. So, you know, it's one of those deals. Now, you know, should we get a very quick warm-up, those fish may spawn where they are. They might just, that would be it, just spawn where they are and not move up necessarily. And that's happened before. However, according to the Department of Natural Resources, their trawl surveys have found some tremendous fish, a really, really good class of two-year-old fish, which means that the population is on the upswing, and it looks like it's going to be a good future for the yellow perch, which is good. Well, I'll just read it to you. We set our fikes on the Chop Tank River. This is from the DNR. Good catches of yellows last week. Again, tremendous numbers of presumed two-year-old fish. The quality fish, which we're seeing in pretty good numbers, are still way downstream, given that the Chop Tank yellow perch schedule is a little ahead of the upper bay. There's still ice on the Bush River as of last Friday. I think it's safe to say that the cold has both delayed and somewhat strung out the run for this year. I look for the mid-shore peak this weekend, which would be today, especially if the water warms up gradually. If we warm up gradually, if it is a fast warm-up, I look for them to spawn where they are, maybe still downstream of the traditional spots. That would be the anglers' traditional spots where you would be standing trying to catch yellow perch. So I would continue to fish for them. Of course, here at I just heard the weather. We're talking about snow again on Monday. So, you know, enjoy this weekend while you can. At least try to. Well, we had some interesting activity from our natural resources police. two reports this week. One of them was the first conviction using the M-Line or however you want to pronounce it, the Maryland Natural Resource Police's newest enforcement tool, the Maritime Law Enforcement Information Network, which is a radar and camera system. Took some photos of watermen working inside an oyster sanctuary. So here's how it went. And they actually included the screenshot of that M-Line photo in the press release from the Department of Natural Resources. In the first major courtroom test of the Maryland Natural Resource Police's newest enforcement tool, two Somerset County watermen were found guilty Monday of harvesting oysters from a state sanctuary. Officers used a Maritime Law Enforcement Network and a radar and camera system on November 25th to track a vessel moving in and out of the Somerset Sanctuary in Tangier Sound. They subsequently charged William Cloyd Catlin and Irving Lee Catlin with dredging in a protected area. District Judge Paula Price ordered the vessel's captain, William Catlin, 64 of Upper Fairmount, to pay a $1,000 fine, and that's $550 above the preset fine, and the mate, Irving Catlin, 55 of Westover, pay a $450 fine. She gave him 30 days to appeal. After viewing the images, Recorded by the M-Line system, Judge Price ruled that despite the Waterman's denials to the contrary, it is clear to this court that you were in and out of the sanctuary oystering. We're grateful to the court for accepting the use of M-Line in our conservation law enforcement efforts. To Governor O'Malley for supporting the development of the system, said DNR Secretary Joe Gill. Judge Price noted that William Catlin has a history of crabbing, oystering, and fishing violations dating back to 1982, and Irving Catlin has natural resources convictions going back to 1979. She dismissed the waterman's claim that it's sometimes difficult to stay outside the protected area and offered a suggestion. If you're afraid of drifting into a sanctuary, then don't go anywhere near one. Sir on land watched on his laptop as the Catlins crossed the boundary of the sanctuary, which is said, you like that? The incident began shortly after 8 a.m. when an officer signed by the state for oyster replenishment. The officer moved to his patrol boat to intercept them, all the while tracking their path on M-Line. During four passes inside the sanctuary, the waterman's boat motored in a circular pattern, indicative of an oyster dredging operation. The officer sped to the location as the workboat attempted to flee the sanctuary with its dredge still in the water. NRP was able to retrieve the data from M-Line that was used as evidence. M-Line, adapted from the Pentagon's geofencing initiative, became fully operational last fall. Each of the units in the network is able to cover up to 20 miles on the Chesapeake Bay, reaching from the mouth of the Susquehanna River to the Virginia state line. The Maryland Department of Natural Resources, the Office of the Attorney General, and the District Court of Maryland expanded a successful program highlighting natural resource cases to 18 of Maryland's 24 jurisdictions. Under the program, cases including fishing, hunting, boating, and tree expert violations are heard on a specific day each month in the region where they occurred and prosecuted by a designated regional state's attorney. NRP is working to have natural resources dockets put in place in the remaining six areas, Frederick, Harford, Montgomery, Prince George's, and Washington counties, and Baltimore City by 2015. There's more. On March 10th, Thomas Wayne Fletcher, 37, of Rock Hall, was issued one citation for possession of 325 undersized yellow perch and warnings for having six oversized yellow perch and improperly tagged yellow perch. Maryland court records show the waterman has been found guilty of numerous natural resource violations, including possession of undersized oysters, crabs, and flounders. I'm thinking the guy just can't read a ruler. He's scheduled to appear in St. Mary's District Court on May 1st. In Somerset County, two watermen already charged with illegal oystering in a protected area in Somerset County were charged on Wednesday with attempting to move the buoy that marks the boundary to increase the legal harvest area. Yeah, we can't go in there, but we'll just move the buoy. They'll never know. Three officers on patrol before daybreak on the Evans Oyster Harvest Reserve area near the mouth of the Wicomico River watched as a vessel circled the buoy at the northwest corner of the protected area. The boat latched onto the buoy and moved it 60 feet to give them more oyster bar to work. Pretty ingenious. Harvey Thomas Bowers, 49, of Chestertown, George Albert Lee, 45, of Dominion, received citations for interference with a state buoy. On March 5th, NRP charged the men with harvesting oysters from the Evans Reserve and failing to tag them before leaving the oyster bar. Well, at least they were familiar with the area. They're scheduled to appear on all charges in Somerset District Court on June 10th. Also, in Somerset County, officers patrolling the waters Tuesday saw two watermen patent-tonging the Evans Reserve, which is closed until March 24th. They issued citations to the captain, John Gregory Cox, 60, and Kendall Earl Sneed, 20, both of Crisfield. 14 bushels of oysters were returned to the reserve. The watermen are scheduled to appear in Somerset District Court on May 13th. I'd like to say and finally, but it's not quite yet. officers on routine patrol Tuesday charged local watermen with dredging oysters after legal hours. William Melvin Osman, 53, of Crapo, was seen harvesting in the Tangier Sound Middle Ground nearly 30 minutes after the 3 p.m. quitting time. Again, maybe his watch stopped. Maybe he can't tell time. Hey, where are y'all going? All the other boats leave. He's out there working. Where's everybody at? he's scheduled to appear in Wicomico District Court on May 6th. So, to these guys, and especially to the two guys that were caught on M-Line. Yeah, you were convicted. William Catlin, 64 years old. Herbie Catlin, don't know if they were related or not, 55 years old. In, out. Not what you think. They were actually circling in and out of the oyster reserve. There's the photo. All right. Oh, we've got one more. I'm sorry. That's kind of our waterman song, that. We have a very short one here for, but we do have a theme song. In Frederick County on March 7th. Last day of deer season was January 30th. 31st. How many days are in January? On January 31st. That was the last day of deer season. Yeah. Yeah, 28. I can't remember that little thing. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. Is that right? I can't remember. Anyway, that end of January was the final day. This was March 7th, 5 weeks after closing day of deer season. On March 7th, officers acting on a tip confiscated a deer. And they charged Ryan Timothy Ross, 30 years old, of Sibylisville, and that's in Frederick County, with possession of a deer in a closed season. Ross told officers that he shot the deer, but he thought it was a coyote. Now, see, that's reasonable. The deer was donated to a charitable program.
Just a good old boys, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know
so
how.
So I blew this wounded rabbit call.
Well, that's just a little.
And this thing came running out of the brush and I shot it. I thought it was a coyote. It had this big long tail, and it was real furry and sharp teeth. And then when I got up there, it was a deer. I couldn't believe it. Did you have a scope on that rifle, son? Oh, yeah, man. I got me a 3-9 Leopold on here. Really? You know what color coyote is? Yeah, they're kind of gray and brown and black and just like a deer. Nice try. Yeah, it was an old deer. Exactly. I was much younger, probably not much out of my teenage years. Up in Somerset County, Pennsylvania, there was a, I had a friend that worked at a place called the Berkey Locker Plant. They did a lot of nice stuff. They had meat processing. They were the home to Keller Butter Company. And they also made mix for a number of Dairy Queens around the region. So they were in the dairy and meat and the whole processing thing. So I went to see my buddy Dave, and he says, come in a cooler minute. I walked in. There's a, you know, there's a skinned deer hanging there. I said, it's not deer season. He said, I know. Look at that wound. There was a perfect pattern right over the rib cage, about maybe 9 or 10 inches in diameter, of a number 6 shot. I said, what happened to that deer? He said, the guy shot it. He thought it was a squirrel. How'd that fly? We need a call. 410-WCBM 680. Get me off of this, please. While you're dialing, it's time to remind... Wow. Hey, I was down to see our folks, our friends at J.O. Spice the other day. I don't know if you know this or not. They've opened a brand new retail store. That little place where you used to walk in, where you buy the spices. Well, they've actually obtained that whole complex, that whole warehouse down there. Not just where their office is and their plant is, but all the way down the line. And they're opening a new retail facility with all kinds of cool crab stuff. The grand opening's April 5th. And they've got some giveaways and all kinds of stuff. So you might want to check them out on Facebook or check out their website, jospice.com. I think you would enjoy that if you like crabbing. Anyway, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And you know what? Check out the Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngsters can win a guided fishing trip. Perch season's here. Trout season right around the corner. Susan Rivers coming up on Maryland's Trout Stocking Program at the 6 o'clock hour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. .gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Stopped by Chesapeake Outdoors the other day. You know, I told you last week they had 40% off all their Drake clothing. And if you like waterfowl, they've got both the Mossy Oak Duck Blind pattern and the Realtree Max 4 patterns on display and for sale. The parkas, a lot of parkas, at 40% off, 40% off the regular price. So you need to check that out. There's some odd other pieces of clothing, but, you know, a lot of those parkas. And this winter, you're out there waterfowl hunting, you needed a parka, that's for sure. But one of the things I noted was all, of course, they're geared up for rockfish season right there in Kent Island. I noticed the... couple of things that they had. They do have probably the area's largest collection of the Mojo head. These are the heavy-duty, the heavy, weight-wise, trolling lures. They're parachutes. They've got the 16-ounce, the 20-ounce parachute, and the 24-ounce parachutes in a variety of colors that I've not seen. They've got a metal flake finish, blue, green. They've got a black. They've got some other colors that are kind of a red. So you can check those out, too, at Chesapeake Outdoors. Of course, they're geared up for turkey season with the Avian X decoys by Zinc. They've got the Mission crossbows, the Matthews compound bows, Barnett bows, Parker bows, and, of course, the world-famous Bubba Blade. You've seen it on TV. They sell plenty of Bubba Blades. What a great knife for meat cutting and for filleting your fish. Chesapeake Outdoors, Route 50 East. Just after you cross the Bay Bridge, it's exit 39B. 39B on Kent Island. Phone number 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. Stop by Chesapeake Outdoors. You'll be glad you did.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Hey, I stopped to see my buddy Don and John at Talbot Power Sports on Route 50 in Easton, going into Easton on the left-hand side there, coming out Easton on the right on 50. It's the Splash into Spring event at Talbot Power Sports on Route 50 in Easton, Friday and Saturday, March 28th and 29th. The headliners are the Can-Am Spider, Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft, and Can-Am ATVs with huge savings and the best deals of the season. Now, that Can-Am Spider, you've seen that three-wheeled bike. With its Y-frame design and seven automotive technologies, you can count on an exhilarating and confident ride. From sport to touring, there's a Can-Am Spider for your riding style. Sea-Doo Personal Watercraft has over a dozen models to fit your style. The exciting new Spark, that's Spark, is playful, easy to ride, and family-friendly, affordable. From beginner to luxury to performance, Sea-Doo has the perfect personal watercraft for your family. Now go off-road, where adventure lives on a Can-Am ATV, whether it's for work or for play. Choose the Outlander or the Renegade Sport 4x4. On Friday, Saturday, March 28th and 29th, take the family to Talbot Power Sports, 9477 Ocean Gateway, Route 50, in Easton for food, door prizes, and a lot of fun. It's what's called the Splash into Spring event featuring Can-Am and Sea-Doo.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
Little Doors to wake you up. Crank it up. That's right. Yeah, that was a good album, by the way. That the one that was on, that was that had a lot of good hits on it. Sure did. All right. I'm out of stuff. I'm done. It's almost over. We only have an hour and a half. We've got a half hour to go to the top of the hour. You know, why take any calls when we only have a half hour, right? 410 WCBM 680. 410 922 6680. 1 800 WCBM 680. Well, okay. Let's see what else I have here in the mix. We could probably talk about that. Let's go over to Hawaii. Did you see where Congressman Cory Booker was talking about Hawaii the other day? Yeah. Right after he got his driver's license, he drove to Hawaii. I don't know if you saw that or not from New Jersey. Well, from the Associated Press in Honolulu, animal lovers in Hawaii packed a legislative hearing room Thursday with poodles and pugs asking lawmakers to ban the practice of eating cats and dogs in the state of Hawaii. A House Committee on Agriculture later advanced Senate Bill 2026, a bill to ban the practice of eating cats and dogs in the state of Hawaii. The Humane Society of the United States says dog slaughter for human consumption is happening across Hawaii. The group receives at least two reports a year of dogs or cats being slaughtered for food. But it says it's hard for law enforcement to catch animal slaughterers. Crap, just get out of the PETA office in Virginia. What'd they kill, 2,000 cats and dogs this year? Oh, they didn't eat them. That's why it's not a no-no. That's right. When we do get these reports of cases of dog or cat slaughter, unless they're caught in the act, law enforcement is not really able to prosecute, said Inga Gibson. She's the Hawaii Senior State Director for the Humane Society, which pushed for the bill. Eating meat from cats and dogs is considered acceptable in other countries, including parts of Asia. And while many Americans eat pigs or cows, consuming meat from those animals is vilified elsewhere. The Oahu Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals said dogs and cats are considered the members of many families. And on it goes. Blather, blather, blah, blah, blah. Pat in Baltimore. Good morning.
Good morning. A quick question. When you were telling the report or reading the report about the gentleman or the men who were harvesting the oysters illegally,
yeah,
what happens to those? What happened to the oysters that they dug?
They dump them back in the sanctuary.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to make sure that they didn't. Okay, I. Anyway.
No, they bred them and serve them up with a fresh serving of Rottweiler.
Listen, I'm a member of the ASPCA, so I do have a problem with eating cats and dogs.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, thanks for answering my question.
Hey, Pat.
I don't worry about the oysters that
Pat,
he's today. Yes.
Pat, can I tell you a joke?
Sure.
Guy takes his Rottweiler into the vet, and the vet looks him over, and the dog appears relatively healthy. He got a couple little minor issues. He looks in his ears. He looks in his mouth. He turns to the guy. You know, he's examining the dog. He turns to the guy and goes, I'm going to have to put him down. The guy said, why? He says, because he's heavy. All right. John in Cadenceville, good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Why, is he sick? No, he's heavy. Okay.
I got a question for you. Last year was the first time in a long time I didn't buy a fishing line.
Why?
Well, I got tied up with some other stuff.
Oh, okay. It wasn't you were opposed to buying a license.
No, I just got tied up. Anyway, this year I'm going to buy the, I guess they call it the combination, freshwater, saltwater.
Yeah.
What did they do with that, like that Atlantic Coast thing? Is there
It's all included in your Chesapeake Bay license.
Okay, and what's it going to cost me if I do the freshwater and the bay license?
Freshwater and bay license. You do the trout stamp too?
Sometimes.
Well, the trout stamp's still $5. Let's see. Give me a second here.
All right.
Oh, I've got my little book right here in my hand. Okay. The non-title sport fishing license, your freshwater is $20.50.
Okay.
And then your resident Chesapeake Bay and coastal sport fishing license includes everything is $15. So you're
$35.50. Okay. All right. Used to be $8 for the whole thing, but times have changed, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Gas used to be $1. Tell me about it. I paid $3.55 yesterday.
I know. I'm a diesel guy, $4.25. So what are you going to do?
Hey, well.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thanks,
all right.
Alan.
Thanks. See ya. Gunter. Gunter in Towson. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I just like your two-story. Now, to mistaking a coyote for a deer is quite a stretch.
Yeah.
But is that a true story about the deer? The guy mistaken said he thought he was shooting at a squirrel.
That's right.
That's a true story.
Yes, yes, I witnessed it. That was a personal story. I was working at the County Trust Company, which is a bank or used to be a bank in Somerset County, right on Main Street. And I was the one of the loan officers in the bank was a friend of mine. His brother Dave was a hunter.
Yeah.
And I went to see Dave and talked to Dave about doing some muzzleloader hunting. And Dave was doing the deer processing at the Berkey Locker Plant in Somerset.
Yeah.
Mr. Berkey was the chairman of the board of the bank.
Yeah.
So Dave was an employee and a friend. So Dave and I and another fellow who owned an insurance agency hunted together, muzzleloader hunted together.
Yeah.
And Dave showed me this deer in the locker plant that he had skinned, and I said, how did it get shot there with a shotgun? It was in October. It wasn't even deer season. And he said, the guy mistook it for a squirrel and shot it with a shotgun. Made a perfect shot, too, right behind the front shoulder.
I told some whoppers in my days, but not about hunting, but this is...
Well, you know.
This just takes the cake.
All right, buddy.
All right, thank you.
All right, hey, how are you and your girlfriend, the maid of the mist, doing?
Oh, we're doing all right. You still like that story?
I like that story.
Yeah.
See you, buddy.
Well, I tell you this. There were three Germans. We were going and coming. You would have said, what's the matter with the crazy guys?
I bet you were just...
wrong here.
Yeah.
But we were just in stitches.
Mm-hmm.
I had tears coming my eye. These Americans, I have a funny humor.
Yeah.
Well.
All right, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Gunter. See ya. I always like to hear from Gunter. Going fishing for the first time, are you, Ruth?
Yes, my sister and I.
Yeah, where are you headed?
We don't know. That's why we're calling you.
Oh, you going today?
No, we won't be going till July. She's retiring from her job in July, so she said we would have to start doing something.
Yeah, well, you know what I would do? Now, you live in Essex, right?
And she lives in Rosedale.
Okay. Well, there's a couple little bait and tackle stores over there that I would go to and talk to those guys because they hear all the reports. And the one is across the from the Burger King on Eastern Boulevard. It's called Trophy Care.
Trophy Care?
Trophy Care, yeah. You know where the M&T Bank is there?
Yeah, I go to that bank.
Okay. Well, right beside that, there's a paintball shop. And then beside that is a little shop, little taxidermy and fishing shop called Trophy Care.
Trophy Care.
Stop right there. Yep. When you go to Essex, stop in there. Doesn't have a very big sign, but Brian.
I live on Old Eastern Avenue and Back River Neck Road.
Okay. Well, you also know where Bowley's Bait and Tackle is and Bowley's Quarter Road.
No, I'm
not on Bowley's Quarter Road. They're also on Eastern Boulevard. Bowley's Bait and Tackle.
I miss a lot of things.
You know where Captain's Quarter Restaurant is?
Yeah.
All right, right there.
Okay.
Yeah, right there. There's Bowley's Bait and Tackle, another little shop.
And they should be able to tell me.
You stop in either of those two stores and they'll be able to give you...
You ever been down here fishing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to work in Essex.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, for a couple of years. Mm-hmm.
How long you been on the radio now?
25.
So you haven't worked nowhere since then?
No, uh-uh.
Well, where do you put your books at, your magazines?
Trophy Care.
Right in the tackle shop?
Yeah.
Oh, how much are they?
Free.
Free?
Yeah.
How can you afford to give all these books away?
Well, I'm a very generous guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All righty, well.
Well, you go in there and you see Brian. The guy at Trophy Care's name is Brian. You tell Brian that Alan said hello, and that he's to tell you the best place to go fishing on the east side, and you want one of his magazines.
How often do your magazines come out?
Every 3 months.
Okay.
And then the Crab magazine comes out at the end of May.
Did your wife die?
She did. Yes,
well,
thank
that's
you.
That's when I started listening to you. When did she die?
2010.
So I've been listening to you 4 years?
Yeah, pretty close.
Wow. And then the man that talks about the flowers, his wife died too.
Mm-hmm.
Your wives died about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So have you remarried?
No. Mm-mm.
No, all them pretty girls down your way?
I know.
And you always out somewhere?
Yep. What are you trying to say there, Ruth?
Nothing, dear. But I don't like to see men by themselves.
Well, what's your number?
I will give it out over the
phone. I don't blame you.
How old are you?
How old am I? How old do I sound?
You sound like you're in your 50s.
I am in my 50s, barely.
Barely? Uh-oh. When your birthday?
May.
Oh, so May you're going to have a birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
You going to have anybody on the radio today as a guest?
Yeah, I am. I'm actually having Susan Rivers on here at 6 o'clock. She runs the state trout hatchery program.
Oh, she's been on before.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about trout fishing.
Yeah, I love trout.
Well, good.
I used to go fishing in Denver.
Really?
Yeah, I lived up there for 10 years.
Oh, good fishing in Colorado,
and,
that's for sure.
And my sister begged me to come back because of our mother.
Yeah.
Because our mother raised 5 children by herself.
Right.
So they were eating crabs one night, and I was sitting up eating a bacon sandwich. And I could see my mother cooking them crabs. And I'm blind now. I could see her in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, Lord. Then the next time I called, she was cooking hardhead fish.
Oh, boy.
And my sister said they were so big, she could only get one in the pan at a time.
Ooh, that's a nice hardhead.
I said, where did she get them at? Down Lexington Market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I miss my mother. She died. And I moved back to Baldwin. I don't like it here no more.
No?
Nah. These people in the streets are so dirty.
Yeah, I know.
And I had so much to do out there.
Yeah.
The crabbing, I mean, not crabbing, but the fishing, learning how to go ski, horseback riding. I did things out there that I've never did in Baltimore.
Not much skiing around here.
Well, the horseback riding.
Yeah, there's a few places,
but not this guy was in my church. I became a Christian out there.
Good for you.
3,500 people.
Wow.
And so he would invite the Girl Scouts from the church, the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And he'd say, come on, bring your dog out. I had a CNI dog.
Mm-hmm.
He'd pick me up, and he had about 100 horses, looked like to me.
Wow.
And anybody wanted to ride, he'd go in the shed somewhere and get a saddle. You think this saddle will fit you? Oh, he was a nice guy. He would
sure.
have food galore. And I knew so many people at that church.
Yeah.
Because I was a greeter at the door.
I got you.
They told me they was going to give me a job.
Did they really?
I thought it was a paid job.
No. Oh, I guess not, huh?
I'm going to have a job.
Yeah.
And so when they told me what I could do, I said, oh, yeah, I'd like to stand and greet people at the door.
How much did it pay?
No. I said, I'll wait and I won't ask right away.
Right.
I'll just wait. So the next Sunday, we went to church. We go in the room and everybody pray and everybody ask questions or ask for a prayer or something. Nobody didn't mention nothing about no money, but they said, Ruth Stewart got a job now, and everybody clapped.
Yeah, that's great.
Isn't that lovely?
Lovely, yes.
I ain't got the check yet. I did it for 5 years.
Oh, my. All right.
But I loved it.
Ruth, thank you for that story. We greatly appreciate hearing from you, okay? But you go in there and talk to...
How often can people call you?
Once a week, if you want.
Oh, once a week.
Sure.
Okay, well, thank you, dear.
All right, Ruth, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Jeff in Baltimore, good morning. How are you?
All right. Yourself, sir?
Good. Top that one.
Yeah, no, that sounds like good old stuff.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Indeed. I wanted to call up and ask. I keep hearing you refer to, and I've seen it about this Tuckahoe State Park. Is this a spot where you could go fishing on land, or do you require?
Yeah, you can fish on land there. There's a lake there. Most people fish the spillway off the lake. They can. It's a bridge. You park there on the road, and trying to remember the route number. It's off of 404 in Tuckahoe State Park. You go up 404 and turn left on, I think it's Ridgely Road. I think that's 480, if I remember right. And then you'll make the next left and get down to the park. Not difficult to find. Not difficult at all to find.
Okay, and it's not really... It sounds like there must be another area where it's connected to the bay, or is that just a freshwater lake out there?
No, that's a freshwater lake, and then the spillway runs down. It's a nice hole right there at the spillway where people stand and fish, and they stalk trout in there, and the perch come up in there, and you know there's a lot of good fishing right there, and then you can go downstream if you like.
Okay, I keep hearing referred to that. I'm trying to. Would you say that? Right now, the bay fishing from land is probably limited because a lot of the fish are still in the deeper parts.
Well, somewhat. There are some areas down there. If you stop at our sponsor down there, Chesapeake Outdoors, they can direct you to some good spots locally there on Kent Island around the area.
Even up here, maybe in some of these Baltimore County.
No, they're not too. They wouldn't be too familiar up here, but I'll tell you, if you call. Like Clyde Sports Shop, we're going to talk about them next. They have that 24-hour hotline, 247-FISH. So, or you can stop by and see Clyde's. I know they've got bait, they've got the minnows, and I think they've got some grass shrimp now, and you know, night crawlers and red worms and everything you need. So,
yeah, that sounds good. I'm trying to maybe get into some of that, and then the shad will be coming soon. And
shad will be coming soon. Stuff. Yep, up on Deer Creek and up on the Susquehanna. You're right.
Yeah. I think when does I have to kind of review my striped bass season. I know there's different types of seasons, different throughout the year.
Well, they're catch and releasing them now, which is a season I've never agreed with. But you know, I just don't think they should be fishing those fish prior to the spawn.
Oh, okay.
You know, those fish full a row prior to the spawn, but, you know, that was done many, many years ago under Bob Bachman, when Bob Bachman was chief of DNR fisheries. But the striped bass season...
Like if I went out and tried to target a striped bass from a land, I'm kind of still a land-based man, anywhere that I might usually do later in the year or did when... Before I heard that the season was over, I didn't want to get out there.
Well, you're not even allowed to fish the tributaries. It's all boat. It's all Chesapeake Bay from the Brewerton Channel to the Virginia line, and it's it's no tributary based fishing at all. It's all the main stem of the bay for the most part on those catch and release fish right now.
Yeah, I wish I was a boatsman. I visited a. We'll say with a local giant box store,
right?
And I saw some beautiful ships right in front of me. And I'm like I said, I get seasick in a puddle, but they sure were pretty.
Yeah.
And I like the form of boat called a skiff.
Yeah,
I like that in all different shapes and forms. And as I went down the row, I got to this beautiful, beautiful ship with a company with the name of a shark in it.
Yeah,
and it was a magnificent surf blue was the color and. It was all 130 grand with two 250 power horsepower motors as big as I was, but it was, the ship was, I had to text someone in a very sensuous way. It was such a beautiful, curvaceous, magnificent skiff.
All right, Jeff, don't get too excited here, okay?
Getting excited. I said, man, I wish I could just get on one of these things and take a ride, but it wasn't meant to be, but it sure was pretty to look at, touch, and feel, and see.
Uh-oh.
I'll leave it at that.
I'm not sure the direction of this show today. I'm really not, so. All right, Jeff.
Let's go trout fishing.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah. Go out and make sure take a cold dip in the water there today, Jeff. You're getting
that was something.
All right. Talk to you later. See you, buddy. You're choking me up today. Clyde Sports Shop. Stopped by yesterday. Said to Billy, Clyde, what do you want to talk about today? Well, you know, people are interested in trout fishing. I said, all right. So Clyde Sports Shop has everything you need for trout fishing. All the little small hooks, the salmon eggs, the power bait, the trout baits, the paste baits, the little artificial lures and spinners and spoons and things that you need for trout fishing. And, of course, trout fishing is right around the corner. But also perch. Don't forget about the perch fishing. They've got the live bait. They've got the jigs, the darts, the little tubes, you name it. Everything for small panfish fishing, Clyde Sports Shop has it. The small rods, the ultralights, rods, reels, and light test line. You can find it right there. Now, you know, I don't want to leave out the striped bass. They've got all the parachutes and you name it. They've got it. So it's Clyde Sports Shop. If you like fishing, you like hunting, you'll love Clyde Sports Shop. You can get your license there. You can get your, you know, don't wait to get your rods and reels repaired and filled and greased and all that stuff, because it's here. Clyde's will do it all for you. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. That's 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Fishing hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, up-to-date fishing information, 247-3474. 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop Fishing Hotline. Hey, guess where I stopped Wednesday, first day they were open, Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. Man, I'll tell you what, Bud's ready to go. He's ready to go for perch and stripers and you name it. He's got the bait in now. For great fish and tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on the mountain road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road right beside the Shell Station. All you need is for any type of fishing, for crabbing, and the best fishing reports on the Mid-Bay. Fishbone also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573. That's for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena. Tell Bud you heard about him on the radio, and thank God he's open again.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review, now on Sunday afternoons from 2 to 4 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, that was fun. We got Jeff out there getting all excited about a boat, or a ship as he calls it. We got Ruth out there in Essex. We got a very interesting morning. So, all right. We'll have some dog and cat recipes coming up the next hour to send out to the folks in Hawaii. Unless the Humane Society gets this bill passed that bans people from, you know, two reports a year from people eating cats and dogs. It's terrible.